Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
And I'm Anne.
And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.
That's right. So we're a podcast that focuses on infertility and miscarriage, but it has definitely branched out to reach a whole lot more topics than that. And today is a whole new topic for me, at least, that we're going to be discussing.
I'm so excited because January is a fresh new start to the year.
Yeah.
And you're maybe you've been frustrated with your fertility journey, and God has a new door to open for you. So I hope that this episode blesses a lot of our listeners. I do want to acknowledge January is also Sanctity of Human Life Month, which we celebrate all year because life is so sacred. And that's one of the things on this show that we put a lot of emphasis on. Obviously, when you're desirous to have children, we know that life is important to you, but it's so easy to get caught up in this desire to have children that we don't always ask how and why and should. We get caught up in the idea that the ends justify the means, you know? And I just want to acknowledge before we jump in on today's topic that I know a lot of believers who love and serve the Lord feel differently about what fertility treatments their family is comfortable with. Yeah. But today's topic, we actually had a listener call in and ask us to have this guest on.
Which is so neat.
Yes. So I have just recently heard about this term called naprotechnology, and we're going to explain what that is.
Yeah, you had to explain it to me.
Yes, but it is for couples that don't feel comfortable with some of the other fertility artificial reproductive technologies, you know, IUIs and IVF and a lot of the invasive things that are just the immediate go-to. The immediate, you know, oh, you have a problem here. We're just going to send you, here's a $100,000
bill,
and this is all the stuff. So anyway, so we're going to get into that. But today's guest is an OBGYN who specializes in this topic, and she also is a fertility surgeon. She's going to explain what the Creighton Model Fertility Care System is, and she is also gorgeous. And Dr. Naomi, welcome to the show.
Oh, wow. Thank you.
Dr. Naomi Whitaker.
I'm so honored and humbled to be here.
Well,
thank you.
We have so much to learn from you. So let's just start from the very beginning. What is naprotechnology?
Yes. Naprotechnology stands for natural procreative technology. It's a form of restorative reproductive medicine. So it's a scientific, natural, and moral approach to women's reproductive and gynecologic health. It was developed approximately 30 years ago by Dr. Thomas Hilgers. And he was he's a practicing Catholic, and he wanted to offer medicine that works in harmony with a woman's natural reproductive cycle rather than overriding it with artificial means. And so part of naprotechnology, it's viewing fertility as an integral part of health. So not just a diagnosis, but a symptom of another medical issue going on. And so approaching reproductive health in a holistic way, considering the emotional, physical, and even spiritual aspects of a woman's well-being. And so we identify and treat underlying causes of infertility, but also menstrual cramps, PMS, ovarian cysts, PCOS, postpartum depression, irregular bleeding, recurrent loss, you know, any women's health issue can be addressed with this. And the way we're able to do this unique approach is because we have that Creighton Model Fertility Care System. So that's a method of tracking biomarkers where a woman is taught how to identify certain biomarkers in her cycle. And these provide insights into various aspects of her health. And it also allows for targeted medical interventions tailored to her needs, because on any given day, a woman is unique with her hormones. It changes. And so we have to know what her body is telling us so we can work with it.
Yes. So a lot of people might be familiar with the term natural family planning. Mm-hmm. I know that's been around a lot longer than 30 years. How is what you do, is it the same or is it different?
So it is a form of natural family planning, but you know, that can encompass many things. Mm-hmm. This is more high tech than something you would generally consider like a calendar method. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not necessarily scientific or accurate. This is individualized prospective data that a woman is taught with an instructor who is highly trained to teach standardized biomarkers. Mm-hmm. So it's very scientific. And so we have hard data as to what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And we're able to know this accurately tracks ovulation and is a window into underlying health issues just by a woman being able to understand what her body is saying.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That is so eye-opening. I know a lot of people in the fertility world, they've started charting. You know, maybe you're taking your temperature, your basal body temperature, and you're, you know, trying to pay attention to your body and read those signs. But what it sounds like that you offer that would have been really helpful for me to know about is somebody to help interpret that data. Because I'm like, okay, I remember when I started charting and like, nothing went like was lining up with the way the book said. And I was like, okay, what do I do with, like, what does this mean? And so am I understanding you correctly that once somebody would chart and come to you with that, then you would help see, okay, what is the underlying problem that might be causing your body and your hormones not to respond the way they're supposed to?
Right. So I have patients see a certified fertility care practitioner who's an expert on how to chart one cycle. Mm. And so it's very accurate because this woman or teacher will work with a woman or couple to be able to help her understand her unique cycle and anything irregular or unique about it. You know, if someone has irregular cycles, it's totally fine. If they have unusual biomarkers, that's just more information. Mm-hmm. And so once a woman has, you know, about 3 cycles of data, 3 months or so, they can just bring that in. I don't even need to talk to her and I can have a good sense of what's going on just by what her body is telling us.
Wow.
Because it is a standardized language that I'm able, like, it's my language that I look to interpret every day. It's very informative.
Well, and do you find that a lot of couples that have been coming to you are frustrated, but they have been trying things that will biologically never work because of the way that they've been doing it? Does that make sense?
Like, what do you mean?
Well, just like honing in on, you know, your fertility window and what those problems are. Like, I feel like, do you feel like there's a lot of misinformation about fertility?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Especially for women who haven't been charting. Mm. When in the class, in the introductory session, I learned more in that hour than I did in my medical school classes about female physiology.
I mean,
and like
it's
you
so
said,
complex.
I was so upset. Why didn't I learn this in high school? I was so frustrated. I was in medical school.
So crazy.
At the time when I pursued this. Yeah.
I mean, just the way that God has designed a woman's body to be preparing to receive a child, like, and then like, I remember as I was learning the way hormones work, like it felt like this complex, beautiful dance where you just see the glory of God in a woman's body. And it's like so, so much more. I felt like you said, like, why did I not learn this in high school?
Yeah.
And I thought, does everybody know this? And I'm the only one. Like, did
then you feel odd asking questions because you're like, I feel like I'm supposed to know it. But.
So beautiful. The more you learn about the design, the more beautiful it is, the more you appreciate it. And that's part of the fertility care system. It is fertility appreciation. It's put into the education of the system.
Is this something you learn in medical school, like something you sign up for? Or is this, I'm not understanding when this fit into your
education?
Sure. So my own personal journey went alongside my medical school. It was kind of a side note. I happened to be at Creighton University School of Medicine where this was developed, but it wasn't really incorporated into my curriculum. I still had to seek it out on my own.
Wow.
my husband deployed to Afghanistan, and I was trying to get off the birth control pill while he was deployed. So my own personal journey, trying to figure out what I could do instead, led me down the path of other family planning methods, natural family planning methods. And I did go to a little course offered by Hope Holistics Institute, where I trained ultimately later. And they gave a very scientific presentation behind the Creighton method. And my mind was just blown, like you guys are, you know, when you started looking more deeper and just the basics of how it worked, my mind was blown as to how the design of my body was, how much there was to know, even just to learn about what I could do myself, and the versatile uses of that information in avoiding pregnancy, but also achieving pregnancy, monitoring health as well.
There's so many new studies about some of the negative effects of birth control and women that have dealt with, you know, a lot of underlying problems. So you're saying that this model also is a different form of family planning or preventing pregnancy as well?
Yes. And it's highly effective, you know, and you can avoid using hormones. So it's nice for someone who's postpartum and breastfeeding.
You know,
she can work with a teacher and learn, okay, I can predict ovulation based on these biomarkers.
Is this something that insurance covers or?
So it depends on, you know, not always. It depends on the teacher.
Okay.
If the teacher is also an RN, sometimes there's ways to get it covered by insurance. But it can be tricky. It's usually difficult.
That's what I was wondering.
Are there a lot of places that offer this? Like, or do you have to travel far? Or how can you find a care provider?
Good question. Yeah, you go to fertilitycare.org for a list of Creighton model practitioner teachers. And there's also a list of NAPRO medical consultants. So Creighton is the method of charting. NAPRO is the medical application. So you have the teachers listed on one page and you have the providers on another. There's other forms of restorative reproductive medicine physicians, you know, so if you want to, there are other options. NAPRO is probably the most widespread and it is standardized around the world. There are telehealth options at My Catholic Doctor, which is a website. Sometimes women do travel, you know, for this type of care. And yeah, those Creighton model teachers are pretty in tune with helping guide a woman towards those doctors too. But some may travel to Hope Holistics Institute in Omaha. I saw people from all over the world when I trained there. They would come for surgery because of the unique procedures and approach. So that's a great place to travel to. And that's the center of training. And just they give phenomenal care there. And that's where I was. My eyes were opened to the potential of this type of care. Because it's not only this amazing scientific charting method. There's also incredible science and advancement in the side of the medical aspects. Because once IVF was invented, that was kind of the default, like you alluded to. It, you know, we, in general in life, we take the path of least resistance and we like kind of, okay, quick fix and you have the birth control. So it's on and off, you know. Now we turn back on our fertility. We want to get pregnant. Didn't happen. Let's just do IUI that fails in IVF. Well, unfortunately, that stifled any medical advancements. We, all the literature in infertility journals focuses on IVF now. They don't really focus on natural fertility. So if you go to an what you think is an infertility specialist, in a sense they are, but their toolbox is extremely narrow. And so they, in essence, are IVF specialists that do other fertility things, but that's not their expertise. Their focus of their training was IVF.
Not to mention the financial benefit of IVF. And it, you, I can get jaded going in on this conversation because my husband and I, when we started on our journey, I did a lot of reading and research, and I found someone who had written a paper on an option that my husband has a spinal cord injury. an option that might work for us in our in the privacy of our own home that was like a $40, like this is some things that we can do. And we went to somebody who wrote the paper on it. And you know what? Oh. He immediately said we should go to IVF. And then when I brought up, well, what about this? He was like, yeah, well, you can try that if you want to. Why would you not tell us about the $40 at our home non-invasive option? And you know, I'm not going to say names of doctors and things, but, you know, there we do live in a world that is driven by finances, and it has become an industry. And that's just one of the sad realities of living in a fallen world.
And part of it is research funding because, right, I mean, it's just part of scientific advancement. There has to be some funding.
Yeah, that makes total sense. Well, with the technology side of what you do, I know a lot of it is the science and the research, but do you provide surgeries or anything for women if there's a problem that can't be solved just by, you know, the rhythm and timing?
Absolutely. Though many women, especially early in their journey, charting may be enough, we may be able to just do hormone support based on her specific needs. We test throughout the entire cycle, ovulation and hormones.
Wow.
Sometimes that might be enough. Helping optimize cervical mucus, helping to time intercourse appropriately, because there's one max peak day of fertility in the whole, you know, average 28-day cycle.
Wow.
So just targeting that, like you said, is enough, is sometimes enough. Now, what if women have done that for at least six cycles, targeted intercourse on the peak day, have supported in other ways, then technically, even if they're not with us, we can diagnose infertility in half the time because they're using the optimal day of fertility.
Wow.
So in half the time, 6 months, we can diagnose them and move forward with additional testing and treatment. And so for women who have abnormal biomarkers, especially tail and brown bleeding, the low cervical mucus, you know, severe infertility, failing many treatments, you know, oftentimes they've gone to other providers and failed IUI IVF. I do get a lot of those patients as well. You know, severe pain, abnormal scans where there's a big endometrioma or ball of endometriosis in the ovaries. What do we do that's more aggressive? So we can escalate that, you know, depending on the needs. So that can include a camera in the uterus, which is called a hysteroscopy, to look for inflammations, polyps, septum, look and do a more specific tubal study called a selective hysterosalpingogram, which is better than a regular tube study because that's kind of all or nothing. This is very scientific, very accurate, and I put a cannula into the tube. I have a very sensitive pressure gauge, and I see if there's even a partial occlusion. And I do that individually for each side under x-ray guidance. And if there's even a partial occlusion, I use a filmy guide wire and I snake out the tube like snaking a sink. And I can open up the tube so it can treat tubal occlusion. And then depending on, you know, sometimes that's enough. And also endometrial cultures and biopsies to see if there's infection, you know, other ways to test inflammation. Other things I can do is look in the abdomen and pelvis and do a comprehensive map to see what obstacles are going on in the abdomen, which are common, such as endometriosis and scar tissue or tubal damage. And those things I have been trained. I had a surgical fellowship out in Omaha where these complicated cases that usually failed many other treatments and people that came from all over came to us. And I was able to train on microscopic tubal surgery, resection of endometriosis, and what we call pelvioplasty or plastic surgery of the pelvis. So it's reconstructing the pelvic organs. I have women that come to me being told, you need a hysterectomy, you know, when they're trying to conceive.
Wow.
And they come to me and I reconstruct it and they have gotten pregnant.
Oh my
goodness.
So what?
This is incredible. Yes. And let's just say, you know, obviously no one can guarantee a pregnancy. And I love that you mentioned that in your intro because, you know, children are a gift and we cannot demand a gift, right? As much as we desire it, and that's a beautiful desire. Mm-hmm. And there are many ways to be a mother, but at least we can get answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I do think women deserve answers, and that alone is healing. We can demand answers. I do think we have control over that to some degree. And then hopefully throughout this intensive treatment, no matter what fertility treatment you do, it's intense. Mm-hmm. At least going through all that, hopefully someone feels better emotionally and physically and feeling healed. These women, they come to me with, you know, such improvement in their symptoms, their pain. They didn't realize how much physical pain they were in and that it was so abnormal, or their heavy bleeding or their fatigue. These women are suffering. Women don't understand what's normal in a menstrual cycle.
Wow. And some of these traditional approaches through artificial reproductive technologies gloss over some of these underlying issues, would you say, to where they never get an actual diagnosis or treatment for what was causing the problem?
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't do as thorough testing, like I mentioned, for example. They don't really acknowledge or really know when to test natural hormones, because they say cycle day 21. Well, you can't just test cycle day 21 because it's not the same for everyone, for example.
Yeah.
You know, so just basic, they kind of have, the natural cycle. They know how to override it, but they don't know how to work cooperatively with it. So to actually find underlying issues, again, you have to think about the training and the toolbox of the physician you're going to.
Yeah.
So the toolbox they have is mainly IUI, IVF. They weren't, because of that, they weren't able to spend time in the operating room focusing on the complicated cases. Are there some that do that? Absolutely. And, you know, there are exceptions, but in general, you know, you have to know that, you know, it's not standard that they may even be competent in being able to correct tubal issues.
What would you say some of the people that come to you, what are their number one concerns with artificial reproductive technology? So what is it about an IVF or IUI that someone might have an ethical concern with, or just a practical concern?
Yeah, I don't know specifically. I don't screen my patients as to their specific reason. But I would say most of my patients, I do think in general, I think a good idea for couples facing infertility to have a discussion, you know, both in prayer and with their spouse, what is this going to look like? What is our vision for where this could go? Where are we going to draw the line? And so for those couples who have drawn a line in the sand, like, I don't want to go past IUI. I don't want to go to IUI. Those are the ones that often come to me, or they're frustrated. They failed IUI, or they just know they want answers. So a lot of women, like, and couples know intuitively, I want to know why. Like, I'm not satisfied with this unexplained, or maybe it's this, or let's jump to this. So I'd say a lot of couples are hungry for answers. Alternatively, you tend to blame yourself for the issue. And so, and just knowing is just so healing for them. And so I would say knowing that is probably one of the big incentives. But I do think, I mean, there are many, you know, concerns. I'd say I have a big Catholic population as well. I have all faith backgrounds and those that don't practice. But for those that are Catholic, even, you know, and I've had patients who are conceived through IVF, and some of them have had a very hard time with, you know, how embryos are created and, you know, potentially discarded, that life is created outside of the marital union. And then, you know, like I talked about drawing a line in the sand, you know, other doors start to be opened, such as egg and sperm donors, surrogacy, and selective fetal reduction. So, you know, it's really important to have an awareness of these potential routes that one may be steered down. And, you know, in Catholicism, we do really value the the union, the marital mm-hmm. union
yes.
of marriage, that physical act mm-hmm. And procreative act. And so separating that from the act of human, of creating human life, which, you know, many of us believe and scientifically is pointed to starts at the time of conception.
Right.
When it's, life is created outside of the bonds of marriage and grown in a lab, you know, then it leads to the embryologist
yes.
sometimes choosing
so
which
many
embryos.
Issues. Yes, selective
right.
reduction and all of that. Yeah. Dr. Naomi, yeah. I'm so sorry. We're going to have to wrap up the program. This is so much information. You gave me some great resources. NaomiWhitaker.com and NAPROEbook.com are some really great resources for anyone who wants to follow up on this conversation. There's so much to this. We're going to have you back to yeah. help break it down for us again.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.